Welcome to BitCast on Podcast One, the video game podcast with the Axeman.
Welcome back to the BitCast. One series of games that's been around for quite a while now and gets a lot of love and hype is the Pokemon series, one of Nintendo's biggest and best-selling series, and it's technically not entirely theirs. The Pokemon series belongs to Game Freak, another company, and while they ultimately answer to Nintendo, this means that Game Freak gets to call a lot of the shots on how the series moves and how it's represented. 2016 was the 20th anniversary of Pokemon, and the celebration involved the release of Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon, the seventh generation of the mainline Pokemon games to be released for Nintendo 3DS. They have re-releases of the game coming up. They're called Pokemon Ultra Sun and Pokemon Ultra Moon, but I feel like that could be its own episode. Today, I just want to talk about the original installments, the plain, classic Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon. The Pokemon games take place in a sort of idealized version of Earth, where everyone communes with these sentient beings known as Pokemon, which is actually short for pocket monsters, but no one really uses that term. They're Pokemon. And Pokemon can be animals or living objects. Sometimes they can even be humanoid. The idea is that the humans and the Pokemon live in concert with each other, bring out their full potential, and live life to its fullest. It's all really happy and optimistic and idealistic. Well, because, you know, kids are the target audience of the game. But there are several adult players, including myself, who like to get into the deeper aspects of the series, like how the building blocks of the game work, because each Pokemon has their own elemental affinities, and there's close to 20 elements, so it really gets complicated trying to figure out which one can beat the other, and then which Pokemon can learn certain attacks that can make them better, or which items they can hold on to make them stronger or weaker. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, honestly. Hey, it's rated E for everyone, not just E for kids, you know? The world of Pokemon is analogous to our own, as far as the timeline goes, though they have somewhat higher tech than us. The Pokemon can be caught in the Pokeballs, which are kind of hard to explain. They capture the Pokemon, and even though the ball is about the size of a baseball, it still manages to contain the Pokemon, and it's said to have some kind of a happy environment inside the ball. It's also really easy to heal the Pokemon completely at the Pokemon hospitals, and there's all kinds of weird high-tech stuff going on. So it's kind of an urban fantasy, if you will. For those of you who don't know, Pokemon is divided by different generations. Every few years, a pair or a trio of Pokemon games will come out, and that's the next generation. Generation 1 was Red, Blue, and Yellow. 2 was Gold, Silver, and Crystal. 3 was Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald. 4 was Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum. 5 was Black and White, as well as Black 2 and White 2. 6 was X and Y. And 7 was Sun and Moon. There are also the remakes, which are always made in whichever generation is current, and they'll buff up some of the older games with new additions. It might be a little tricky to remember which game is from which generation, but that's the general outline. In the first 4 generations, the games took place in a fantasy equivalent of Japan. The 5th generation, with Black and White, took place in the Unova region, which is based on the northeastern area of the United States. So, you know, your New York, your New Jersey. 6th generation, with X and Y, took place in Kalos, which was the equivalent of France. And yes, you do get to visit their version of the Eiffel Tower. Finally, Sun and Moon of the 7th generation take place in a region called Alola, which, if the name didn't give it away, is very heavily based on Hawaii. While Generations 5 and 6 had a few cursory references to their inspiration, Sun and Moon went beyond, really hammering home just how Hawaiian this game wants you to believe it is. They've incorporated a bit of Hawaiian slang into the characters' speech patterns. There are people who are literally referred to as kahunas. You've got some Hawaiian foods. And even a good chunk of the Pokemon encountered in the game are inspired by folklore and natural phenomena of Hawaii. What's more is that the soundtrack really captures that Hawaiian aesthetic. So you can make no mistake, this is a Pokemon game set in Hawaii. A lot of the composers in this game are the usual suspects as far as Pokemon composition goes. We have Minako Adachi, Go Ichinose, Junichi Masuda, Hitomi Sato, Tomoaki Oga, and Hideaki Kuroda. Adachi has been working on the Pokemon soundtracks ever since Black and White and continues to this day. Ichinose has been working with the series as of the second generation, Gold and Silver. He stuck around until the end of the fifth generation and took a break afterward, rejoining for Sun and Moon's soundtrack. He also devised a few of the unique voices of the different Pokemon, because in the games, they don't just repeat their names like they do in the cartoon. So it's not like Squirtle's running around saying, "Squirtle, Squirtle!" No, he's just like, "Bow, bow, bow," or something like that. And then, the next composer would be Sato, who has been working on the series since Pokemon Crystal in the second generation. But she didn't do any composition work until Pokemon Emerald, one generation later. She's also stayed in the game up to this point. Oga hasn't worked on the series prior to Sun and Moon. His contributions to the soundtrack were mostly for cutscene music. Kuroda's been a freelancer since 2013, and he was hired for the Pokemon games since X and Y, working on the soundtrack and a few more of the Pokemon voices. Another thing of musical note, no pun intended, is that one of the new Pokemon in the game, Mimikyu, has a promotional song written about it. Mimikyu is a ghostly Pokemon wearing a shoddy disguise that resembles Pikachu. It wants so badly to be as popular as Pikachu that its entire race has taken to disguising as the little yellow guy. Every single Mimikyu looks like Pikachu. The song Mimikyu no Uta is featured not in the game prior, but Nintendo released it on their YouTube channels, and I felt this song was worth mentioning. It's spoken in Japanese, but there are subtitles available, conveying Mimikyu's feelings about how useful it can be and how it just wants to have friends. It's kind of sad, really. I ended up catching a Mimikyu in my game and making it part of my main team of Pokemon. Most Pokemon games are about the player character being commissioned by the local professor to research Pokemon. You capture as many as you can and complete an encyclopedia known as the Pokédex. That's really more of a side goal. While this is what sets you off, the real adventure is in challenging a number of difficult trainers so you can qualify to take on the regional's best and become champion. And there's usually a team of villainous trainers who want to abuse the Pokemon for their own ends, and you have to put a stop to it, because you're the 10-year-old child taking on gangsters. Yeah, that's not gonna end badly at all. Well, hey, they got away with it for this long. In Sun and Moon, we follow the same template, but there's more of a focus on characterization than in the past. Your player character embarks on what's known as the Island Challenge. You and a few friendly faces have to travel around the islands of Alola and win 7 trials. Each island has a few trials, 1 to 2 to 3, and a kahuna will be waiting for you at the end of each island, and you have to battle them before you can move on to the next one. Beat all the kahunas and all the trials, and you will become the champion. And along the way, there are these thugs called Team Skull, and they show up to cause trouble, and you have this friend named Lily. She's taking care of a mysterious Pokemon named Cosmog, who seems to have mysterious abilities. Figuring out what's going on with Lily and Cosmog and taking care of Team Skull ends up kind of overshadowing your Island Challenge adventure, and it made for a memorable experience overall, if you ask my opinion. Moon is my favorite in the series so far. As I said, there's a heavier focus on characters than there were in the past. Not all the past Pokemon games were slouches. In most of them, the villains and the supporting characters really just roles to be filled, no real thoughts or personalities of their own. Black and White and their sequels are generally considered to have some of the stronger characters. At least, in my opinion. X and Y kind of dropped the ball. They were trying, I can see the attempt, but it didn't quite capture the same level to me. And then the Ruby and Sapphire remakes picked it up again, and Sun and Moon ran off with it. To keep things fresh, and because it's been 20 years, Sun and Moon have added a very interesting concept, Alolan forms of past Pokemon. To emulate the fact that animals are quite different from their counterparts in other continents, they've adapted that into the game. The rat Pokemon, Rattata, is usually just a plain old rat. It's purple. There you go. But in Sun and Moon, they gave it a different color. It's black now, and it's able to stand on its hind legs now. Not to mention, its elemental affinity has been changed. And this is pretty much what they do with a lot of the Alolan versions of Pokemon. They'll slightly change their color and design, give them new elemental properties. It really breathes new life into Pokemon that are usually forgotten otherwise. The game also introduces Z-moves, which are powerful attacks that can only be used once per battle, and they're aligned with your Pokemon's elemental powers. There are a lot of other additions, too, the kinds of things that are known to be switched up between generations, if you've been with the series long enough. The first example I can think of is the Wonder Trade. While regular Pokemon trading still exists, you can now instantly trade your Pokemon away and get a random one in return. Who knows? Maybe you'll get the super rare, mega powerful Pokemon. Or maybe you'll get the Mongoose Pokemon, who has the same joke name that everyone else gave it because they think they're so darned funny and nobody's ever had the same idea before. Ha! One more change is the introduction of brand new creatures called Ultra Beasts. Functionally, they're about the same as Pokemon, but in lore, they're these freaky monsters that come from another dimension and have these crazy abilities. Just take a look at some of them and you'll see. Google image the different Ultra Beasts. They look nothing like any Pokemon that there's ever been. Well, this is a podcast for discussing video games. I do feel like it would be worth my attention to bring out the Pokemon cartoon. It's well known and has been going around for almost as long as the games have. There are, in fact, episodes of the Pokemon cartoon based on Sun and Moon. I haven't decided to skip this generation or anything, so if you're still wondering about whether or not the cartoon is still going, yep. Ash and Pikachu have made it to Alola, and they stay there to learn and meet all the new Pokemon in the region. I've only seen the first two episodes, but I didn't think they were too bad. Definitely different from the games, I'll say that. If you're going to watch the show and expect the same storyline as the game, something tells me it's not gonna be like that. I've also noticed that the animation is very different, and so is the art style. But in my opinion, this leads to having more expression in the character designs and in some of the gags, so I'm okay with that overall. I've even heard that there's a pair of episodes where Ash reunites with his oldest traveling companions, Brock and Misty, way back from the original days. That seems pretty cool. I might have to give the show another chance. The Pokemon cartoon, picking up all the nostalgia pandering that the games have picked up on. As much as I like Sun and Moon, and the series in general, I have to admit, they really like to ride on players' nostalgia for the original Red and Blue. But we do live in the age of nostalgia, so whatever works, works. Now for today's favorite songs. They are the Team Skull Grunt Battle Theme, the Island Kahuna Battle Theme, and Vast Pony Canyon. And that's Pony with an I at the end. The Grunt Battle Theme plays when you fight against the henchmen of Team Skull. It sounds a bit more intense than their regular theme music, which helps to sell them as a threat. They're loser thugs, but they're still capable of causing damage. All the team's Skull-related songs also feature voice appearances by a vocalist known as Kiyotaro. Island Kahuna battle theme, as guessed from the title, is reserved for when you're going up against the Kahuna at the end of each island. Their battles are kind of like checkpoints in your overall quest to beat the game, and this track reincorporates the trial theme music, making it seem like you're being reminded of your past victories. It's like a summary of your whole quest up to this point, and giving you the motivational push you need to take the Kahuna down. Vast Pony Canyon is an amazing woodwind track, and it captures the spirit of wandering the untamed wilderness. Pony Island, the fourth in Alola's series, is mostly uninhabited by humans, leaving it as a playground for tough, wild Pokemon. It's unlike most of the places you've ever been in the game, so getting its own unique music really helps. That's about it for my discussion of Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon. Someday I would like to discuss Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon on the BitCast, but for now, I think we can leave it at this. Thanks for listening, and I will see you on the next one.
Listen to BitCast anytime on podcast1.com and on the Podcast One app.